We're holding on Chof Zion on the Bay's six lines from the bottom. Still talking about various Dinim of Shavuos, where a person made a Shavua, as it said in the Mishnah, not to eat this loaf of bread. So let's talk about more details within that din. And what says Amar Rava, Nishbar Kikar, a person swore about a loaf of bread that he's not going to eat it, V'achwa, and then he ended up eating it. So now it depends. If there's still a kazayas left of the loaf of bread, nishal aleha, then at that point he can go to ask the chacham to be matu neder, and then he'll be able to eat, and then he'll be able to eat the remainder. And in fact, then it'll mean that retroactively, now it'll turn out that retroactively he wasn't over because a chacham is, it's called oikra neder mi'ikra. When a chacham is matan neder, then he takes away as though the neder never existed. But only if there's a kezias left. Ochla kula in nishal aleha, but once he ate the whole thing, then he cannot be matan neder because now there's nothing to be matir. So what's the difference? So why is there a difference? The Gemara is going to ask what the scenario is, but first you have Tosfos deals with the question. First of all, if there's less than a kezias left of it, realistically, when a person eats a whole loaf of bread, there's going to be some crumbs fall. So obviously we're not going to say that to be yotze. If he were to make a shavua that he will eat it, for example, he's not planning to eat the whole thing and not even leave any crumbs. So therefore, by the same token, over here, if there's less than a kezias left, it's not even though there is some of the bread physically left, it's not important enough for him to ask and be matir neder about. So there are two major approaches among the Rishonim what exactly the thing is. One way of looking at it is like we're saying exactly that. If there's less than a kezias left, then it's not really important enough to be matir neder on. Another way of looking at it is that the iser still exists on any part of it, but the chacham is not going to bother with it unless it's negeya bedavar. And if there's less than a kezias left, then it's not considered negeya bedavar, and therefore the chacham is not going to bother being matir neder. So one way of looking at it is whether it's choshuv or not, and the other way is that since he already was over on his shvur, then at that point there's really nothing left to there's nothing significant left to be able to be matir neder about. There is an interesting point in this connection that Akiva Eger brings up in his Chuvus. You do have the point Chatzi Shir Osim and Atura. So what if there's less than a Kazayas left? The fact is he still wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So why can't he be Matu Neder on that part? And he says that maybe the concept of Chatzi Shir Osim and Atura is only when there exists a full Kazayas and we're talking about that he ate less than it. The classic case of Chatzi Shir Osim and Atura would be in case the Gemara first brings it up in connection with Yom Kippur, where a person is also to eat a kaseves, so the size of a date, of food. So now if he eats half of it, if he eats less than that amount, is it also minatoro or not? Machalikas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. But over there, there is more food available for him to be able to make up the full kaseves. So the question is, when he eats half, is he over? But here, where there exists only half a kezias of the isur, because there's only this one loaf of bread that's osur, and all that's left is half a kezias, then maybe we wouldn't say chatzi shir osim and atora, and therefore maybe there's nothing to be matu neder. By the same logic, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, by the same logic, if a person were to eat a half a kezias at the very end of Pesach, and there's no time left in the day to eat the second half a kezias, then maybe the same thing we see in Kippur and a kesebis, maybe taka he wouldn't be over on chatzi shir osim and atora. Anyway, the point is, so you have two major understandings of why he can't be matir neder at this point, either because at this point he was already completely over on his neder, or because, and there's really nothing significant left to be matir neder on, or is it because at this point the chacham is not going to bother with being matir the neder because there's nothing significant left. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha Vrei De Rav Lo Ashi Hechi Dami. But what's the scenario over here? Ida Amar Shalai Oichal, if he to begin with said, I won't eat this bread, so then the Kezayis Kama Avdele Isure. So then as soon as he ate the first Kezayis of it, he was already over on the Isur, because Shalai Oichal means that he won't eat a Kezayis, and he already ate a Kezayis. So at that point, he already was over on the Isur, and how can the, and on the face of it, how can the Rav be Matu Neder? How can that take away the Isur? Fine, can make it that now we can eat the rest of it, but he already did the Isur, so he can't be Matu Neder to permit what he already ate. So why would there be a difference whether there's a Kezayis left or not? Ida Omar Shaloyechlena, and if he said to begin with that I won't eat it, meaning that I won't eat the entire loaf of bread, my iria Kezayis, then why does it matter if there's only a Kezayis left after the Kol Shulunami? Even if there's any amount of the bread left, then he should be able to be Matir Neder, because the fact is, he said that he's going to eat the whole thing, and he's over on the Shavua only if he ate the whole thing. So the Gemara answers, in fact, the scenario could work no matter which Lashon he uses. You could say that the scenario is where he said, I won't eat, which implies that every Kezayis that he eats, that he's over on the Yisr. But we would say, because being Matur Neder will help on that last Kezayis. It's true, when he ate the first Kezayis, then he was over at that point. But the rest of the bread was still Osir, and at that point, surely he could have been Matir Neder to be allowed on the rest of it. And again, the Chacham is Oikra Neder Me'ikre. When he takes away the Neder, he makes it as though it never exists. So therefore, so because the She'ela, because being Matir Neder, will help for that last Kezayis, Mahanyele She'ela, Namia Kezayis Kama, then it will in fact help for that first Kezayis as well. And so, like we said, it'll help retroactively, and it'll turn out that he never did the Issu in the first place. Now, the Rav Abreid Rav's question had been that on the face of it, how can the She'ela help to be Matir what was already Osir and what he had already eaten? And the answer is that yes, it does just that. Because the Chacham is Oikra and Neder Me'ikra, and therefore in effect he makes it as though there was as though an Isser had never been done in the first place. So now again, if there's less than a Kezayis, then no, you wouldn't be able to do that, because at that point the She'ela doesn't help on the less than a Kezayis. Because less than a Kezayis, where you said Shaloi Oichal, then less than a Kezayis is not included in the Isser anyhow, because Shaloi Oichal means that I won't eat a Kezayis. So that's one way of understanding the scenario. Another explanation, another possibility would be that he said to the begin with the Shavua that I won't eat it. So therefore he's over only if he ate the entire loaf. So now the reason you need a Kezayis left, each shear Kezayis, choshev le chule ale. So now if he left over a Kezayis, then a Kezayis is important enough to be Matir Neder about it. And then again, by doing that, then already he's taking away the Isser of the whole thing, retroactively. The Eloi, and if not, like Choshev Leit Shulei Alei, then it's not important enough to be Matir Neder on, and therefore, so now we can't take away the Isser it retroactively that was on the whole loaf of bread. So again, you have two, again, like we said, you have two ways of understanding. It's not that, we're not going to say that he was over on his Shavua yet. One way of looking at it is not that he was over on his Shavua yet. The fact is, there still exists some of the loaf of bread, less than a Kezayis, it is true, but the fact is, his Shavua was that he's not going to eat the whole thing, and he hasn't yet. Nevertheless, because we only have a little bit of it left, and it's not important enough for the Rav to deal with and be Matir Neder. That's the one approach which the Rini Gash and a number of other Rishonim have. And then the other approach, which is Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim, learn that what it is that at that point you can't. He was already over on the Shavua, because you're not going to say again, like Tosfos had said, inevitably everybody leaves crumbs over from the food they eat, and those are not considered significant, and therefore he was already over on his Shavua, and at that point it's too late for the Rav to be Matir Neder for him because he was already over on it. So in other words, basically the two opinions boil down to if there is less than a Kezayis, was he over on a Shavua or not? Okay, so the point is that yes, we can answer Rav Acha Brei De Rava's question. We can say either way it would work, and either way either way, Rava's din would be valid. Okay. So the Gemara says Meisvi. So I have a contradiction. However we learn what Rava said, the point that comes out of it is that once he was over on the neder, then it's too late to be matur neder. So not once he was over on the neder. We said in the case of Shlo Eichal, he was already over on the neder, but there's still enough of the bread left for him to be able to be matur neder and retroactively make it mutter. But the point is, we're saying once there's nothing left, rather we should say what we said is once there's nothing left of the neder, then at that point it's too late to be matir neder. So here, like we're saying, when there's less than a kezias left of it. So now, Meisvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction from a braisa, which we learned yesterday. Mishem noder shtei nizirus. A person made a neder of two terms of nizirus. He went through the entire first Nezirus. Nezirus is typically 1 month. So he went through the entire 1 month. V'hifrish aleha karban, and he designated karbanas even to finish his Nezirus, the three karbanas that he has to bring at the end of his Nezirus. V'achakach nishal al rishayna. Then he went and asked the Chacham and was matir neder on the first Nezirus. The result is also like Shnia B'Rishoyna, the second one counts instead of the first one. Meaning, like we talked about yesterday, so he had made a neder, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, that he's going to do two terms of Nezirus, So now, the first term would run throughout Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah until the end of Tishrei, and the second one, after he brings his Karbanos, would begin at the beginning of Cheshvan and run until the end of Cheshvan. So now he went even on Lamed Tishrei, even when the first Nezirus is over and he's about to bring his Karbanos, he went and was Matur Neder. What happens is that now the first Nezirus disappears, but the time that he spent following the dinim of a nazir, not drinking wine, not cutting his hair, etc., will now count as the second Nezirus, and now that's it. He brings his Karbanos now at the end of Tishrei, and that's it. His Nezirus is completely over, and there's no more Nezirus to keep. So we see, in other words, that he's able to be matir neder even when the entire Nezirus is over. Just that all he did was that. And the Gemara assumes for purposes of the question that the case could even be where in fact he already brought his Karbanos. There are actually a couple of ways of understanding that. The Rimi Gash explains that the question is basically just, the Gemara never assumed that he finished that he brought the Karbanos already. Just the very fact that he finished the 30 days of Nezirus ought to be enough for it to be considered that it's too late, based on Rava's principle, to be Matur Neder. The Ritva rather explains that we're assuming that maybe Hifrish means that he actually brought the Karbanos already, and therefore the question would be that even after that, it seems like he can be Matur Neder and put in now the second Nezirus in place where the first one was. So the Gemara answer is Hachamaya Skin and Bishalai Kippur. Fine. No, the Braisa is talking about where he didn't bring the Karbanos yet. So therefore, there's still what to do. And until he brings those Karbanos, he can't drink wine. He can't finish his Nezirus. So now, therefore, there's still what to ask about. So now, when he asks in his Matur Neder, then you can say that there's still room to be matter the first neder, the first nezirus, because something of it still exists, because the fact is he can't drink wine, cut his hair, and so forth until he brings his Karbanos. So in other words, according to the Rimi Gasha's understanding of the question, the Gemara knew all along that he hadn't brought the Karbanos, but we thought that doesn't matter, the 30 days are over, and the answer is no, until he brings his Karbanos, he still has to keep the rules of Nezirus. According to the Ritva, the question was, the Gemara had assumed it meant he brought his Karbanos already, and the answer is he hasn't brought him yet. The Gemara says, well, Tanya Kippur, but we have a Braisa that says even he was Mechaper, even he brought the Karbanos already, it's still not too late to be Matur Neder and then have the second Nezirus take over those days that have already passed in place of the first Nezirus. So if he brought the Karbanos already, then what's left? And the answer is Bishalei Gilach. Because we're talking about that even though he brought his Karbanos, he didn't yet shave his hair, which is the official end of the Nezirus. So this Braisa would be appointed Rabbi Eliezer, Domitik Lachas Ma'akva. He says in Masechta Nozer that even though he brought his Karbanos, it's not enough. He has to cut his hair and he has to shave his hair, and only then at that point does he become mutter to drink wine and to do the other things. So the pasuk says after it describes the nozir's korbanos and his shaving and all that, it says va'achar, and after that yishtan nozir yain, the nozir can drink wine. So Rabbi Yehazar understands that it means he has to have done all the things that it says over there, including the shaving and the three korbanos. And the Chum learn differently and say that va'achar means that he has to bring his korbanos, and then he's able to drink wine. So therefore, so this last braisa that we just quoted that says that even though he brought his korbanos, he can still be matir neder, and therefore that whole month of nezirus that he kept now counts as the second nezirus instead of the first. Fine, that will be according to Rabbi Yezer, according to the Chachamim. You're right. Once he brought the korbanos, then the nezirus is completely over. But the Gemara says. But the Gemara says, Valtanya Gilach, but we have another Braisa that says that even he shaved, so even though he shaved and brought his Korbanos and all that, he's still able to be Matir Neder on that first Nezirus, and now the second Nezirus will take over in place of the first one. So that shows that even though the Nezirus is completely over, and every detail of it is over, and now he's even able to, able to drink wine, nevertheless, at this point, he can still be matir neder, and that makes it now that now the nezirus that he's been keeping for that entire month instead counts as the second nezirus that he had taken on to begin with, and now therefore he's able to, now the korbanos that he brought count for the second one, and therefore there's nothing more that he needs to do at that point. His nezirus is completely over, and he doesn't have to keep anything else anymore. So why is that? Based on Rava's principle, that should be impossible, because once the nezirus is over and there's nothing of it left, it should be impossible for him to be able to be matir neder. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ashi, Nezirus Karamis. You're trying to bring a contradiction from Nezirus. Nezirus and Shavuos are two completely different kinds of things. Of course, Nezirus is a type of neder, but nevertheless, there's something like this. Like we talked about yesterday, when you have two Nezirus, the fact that the second one is outstanding prevents the first one from being chal. Mi goram l'shniya shalai tochol. What is it that causes the second Nezirus to not be able to be chal yet? Is Rishona, is only the first one. As long as the first one still exists, then the 30 days of Nezirus that he kept during Tishrei are going to be the first one, and therefore that, and until he's Matir Neder, those count as the first Nezirus. But now he was Matir Neder. Ve'ena. Now it doesn't exist anymore. Now it comes out that there was never that first one in the first place, because it was Oiker the Neder to begin with. So therefore it comes out. So had the first one still existed, then yeah, the second one would have to start now. But now, when he's Matir Neder on the first one, now there's room for the second one to be Chal. But with the loaf of bread, the fact is that once he ate the whole thing, and there's less than a kazayas left of it, then at that point he was already over on the shavua, and now there's nothing left of the shavua to be able to be matir neder on. In other words, basically, yes, the chacham can be matir neder, but he can't take. Something already happened, so therefore, you can't now say that it didn't happen. With the Nezirus, fine, you can say it was Nezirus. Either it was the first or it was the second. Once we remove the first, then we have the second. But when it comes to the loaf of bread, he was already over on it. He already ate the whole thing, or ate all of it less than a kazayas, and therefore there's nothing left to be matir neder on either. Because like we said before, because at that point there's nothing left that's important for the chacham to deal with and to be matir neder, or because at that point he was already over the entire issur. So it's not really a valid comparison by Nezirus. We could say that the Chacham takes away the Nezirus, and therefore the second one counts where the first one would have been, but by the loaf of bread, we can't, the Ritzvah teaches out that it means, in other words, basically, those 30 days during Tishrei, those potentially could have belonged to the first Nezirus or the second one, because it depends whether it was going to be Matir Neder or not. So therefore, you can't really say the first Nezirus is completely gone, because those same days could have also served for the second one instead. But now we're talking about that. But now with the loaf of bread, you can't really say that. Once he eats all of the bread, then that's it. He was over, and there's nothing left of it. It was less than a kazayas left of it. That then, therefore, it has no chashivos, and therefore we can. So therefore, Rava's principle would still stand. Okay. Amema Omer. Now Amema says no. Afilo ochla kula. Amema says no. Even if he ate the entire loaf of bread, nishalaleho, he could still be matuneder. Because after all, there is still something left over of it. There's nothing of the bread left over, but there still are consequences of the Isser left over. So after all, if he had eaten it b'shoygig, mechus a korban, he still has a korban to bring. So therefore, there's still a basis to be matur neder. It's true the physical loaf of bread is gone. But the consequences of being over on the Shavua still exists, namely that he would have to bring a korban, and therefore there's what for the Rav to deal with and to be matur neder. Even mezid, if he had eaten it the mezid, where then he's going to be chayv malchus, mechus the malchus. Well, the fact is he hasn't gotten malchus yet, and therefore, so it's still considered that there's something to ask about in order to get out of those consequences. An interesting point that the Rishonim bring up. What about if it was b'mezid but there was no hasra? So then there's no korban and there's no malchus. So now you can still say. So now the Rosh and the Meiri bring from Chachmei Adoris, from the Chacham of earlier generations, that still the fact is that he's subject to a punishment min hashamayim, and therefore there's a basis for and therefore there's something available for the Chacham to be matter. On the other hand, the Meiri himself says that no, you don't take that into consideration, and therefore you can't say that can't be matter neder. That would be negeya nowadays, where there's no malchus, and there's no korban. Therefore the Rav doesn't have the ability to be matur neder. Besides, from the Meiri pointing that out, the note of Yehuda points that out in his notes on Shulchan Aruch Dogel Meravava, and then other Achronim discuss the ins and outs of that. Okay. Anyway, so Amema was saying, as long as there's some kind of consequence of the Shavua left over, still the korban, or still the malchus to be brought, or still the malchus to be done, then there's still a basis for the Rav to be matur the neder. Not like Rav had said that there has to be a kazayis left over of the loaf of bread. So Aval, but Amema says Kfasu ala Omud Loi, but if the case is bemazed and he's chayav malchus and they already tied him to the pillar to give him malchus, because as we learned in Malchus, they would tie the person's arms to a pillar and he'd be halfway leaning over, and that's the posture in which they give him malchus. So then once they already tied him Loi, then at that point it's too late for him to be matur neder kiddush Shmuel. Namely, we have to take into consideration what Shmuel says. Because Shmuel says that if they tied him to that pillar and then he managed to get away and ran away from Beis Din, then he's potter from Malchus, because we learned in Malchus the purpose of the Malchus is that the Yid should be degraded in your eyes. He suffers this public degradation and humiliation of Malchus, and therefore at that point his Avera has had its kapara. So now if he went through this already where they tied him to the post, and then that's already the humiliation itself, and therefore now we don't have to give him the malchus anymore. So therefore, in other words, the point is, Amema was saying, once he was tied to the pillar, then already it's in a way tantamount to him having been given the malchus, and therefore at that point there's nothing left of the consequences of his shvur, of being over on his shvur, therefore there's nothing for the chacham to be matir. However, the Gemara says v'loihi, but that's not so. Actually, there was a distinction. Hosam rots, hochaloi rots. The fact is, over there, you're talking about where he actually did run away. So you can say yes, the tying up. Yes, he was tied to the pillar. But in other words, that he ran, and then the combination of those two things is enough to pater him from further malchus. But if he didn't run away, he's still tied there to the pillar. The fact is, we do need to give him malchus, and therefore that means there still are consequences for him having been over on his shore, and therefore there is what for the chacham to be matir for. Now, why did Amema think differently? Is because he thought that one possibility that Ritva says is maybe Amema thought that Shmuel's statement virot is oirot, is one or the other. They tied him to the pillar, or if he ran away, meaning before they tied him. And then the Gemara is saying that no, it means that you have to have both. The other possibility is that Amemar said that, listen, sure, of course, he needs to be tied there and to run away. He's not Potter from Malkus, but at least you have some of the vinikla, some of the degradation that Malkus is supposed to accomplish has been done already, and therefore it would be too late to be Matir Neder. And the Gemara is saying that no, as long as if he didn't run away, then the fact is the full vinikla has not been done yet, and therefore there is room to be Matir Neder. So that's how it is. That's the halacha, the Rishonim passed him like a Maimer. And therefore, that's the result that even he ate the entire loaf of bread, there's nothing left of it, or there's less than a kazayas of it. If we're talking about where there are consequences of some kind for the neder, whether a korban or malchus, then there's still room for the chacham to be matir neder. Nowadays, when there's no korban and there's no malchus, then like we said, it's a machlokas, it's a discussion among rishonim and achronim whether the rov can be matir neder at that point, whether we still take into consideration that there's still a punishment minash. Am I outstanding, or do we not take that into consideration, and it's too late for the Rav to be Matir Neder? Okay. Another din that we're going to talk about as far as the dinim of Shavuos. Now, keep in mind, we learned before that the Shavua itself has to be We learned a couple of days ago, Odom b'shvua, when the person makes the shvua, he needs to know, he has to have full awareness that the shvua is making the thing osur. We talked about the other day about libcha onscha, for example, we had with Rav and his Talmidim, where each of them was swearing that Rav said such and such, and we said it's not considered a false shvua because each of them genuinely believed that Rav had said that. And therefore, it's not called a shvuah sheker. So, by the same token, in other words, a person makes a shvuah, he has to know that what he's doing is making this thing osur. Then afterwards, we talk about whether he is over on the shvuah b'mezid or whether he's over on it b'shoyin. So now we're going to talk about a case where a person makes a shvur, makes the chalois, when is a shvur going to take effect, is when a t'nai takes place. So Rava is going to tell us a case where a person makes a t'nai, and the shvur is going to take effect only once that t'nai has happened. So the question is, at what point is considered the beginning of the shvur? So v'omer Rava, shvur shlo eicho kikar zu im eichal zu. So he says a shvur that I won't eat this loaf of bread if I eat that one. So in other words, we can call them the two loaves of bread or the iser and the t'nai. So let's say, for example, he had said that let's say, in order to help keep things straight, let's say one of them is a regular loaf of sliced bread and the other one, let's say, is a challah. So he's going to say, if I eat the sliced bread, then that's a t'nai, and the result is, therefore, I'm not going to be able to eat this challah. So now, the ochel is to be shown in b'shoigig, v'ashnir b'mezid. Now, if he eats the first one, b'shoigig, and the second one, b'mezid, and we have to figure out what we mean by the first one and the second one. There's going to be a big machlokas. We've shown him how to understand this. So we'll start as usual with Rashi's explanation. Rashi says the t'nai one is called Rishoina, because he said, if I'm going to eat this one, then I won't eat that one. So in other words, he had said, if I won't eat the sliced bread. Rashi learns that he had said, I won't eat the sliced bread. I'm not making a shvu on it, but I won't eat it. But if I eat it, then I won't eat the challah. So then, in other words, so the sliced bread, let's say, is the t'nai. The challah is the actual one that has the shvu on it. So if he ate the first one b'shoigig, so he didn't remember when he ate the sliced bread that's going to aser him in eating the challah. That's a shniyah b'mezid, and then he ate the second one b'mezid. So now, when he eats the challah, he remembers that it was also for him to eat, because he remembers that he had already eaten the first loaf, and that had triggered the iser. So then, Rava says potter, then he would be potter even if they gave him hasra before he ate the challah. Because when he ate the first one, it's not ha'odam b'shvua, because the shvua was not chal. In other words, the idea is, when is the shvua chal? Only when he eats the first one. Well, when he ate the first one, he didn't remember that that's a, that 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 constituted a tnai, and therefore that that's going to trigger the issur on the second one on the challah, and therefore it's not ha'odim b'shavua, and therefore, in other words, when the shavua took effect, he didn't have full awareness. Therefore, the shavua doesn't take effect to the extent where he would be chayev, malchus for eating the other one. On the other hand, Rava says if he ate the first one, b'mezid, knowing that that's triggering the tnai, so he eats the sliced bread, knowing that now the tnai takes effect. Now he's also to eat the challah. And then he ate the second one, the challah, forgetting that the shavua had been triggered. Chayev. Then Rava says he would be chayev the korban for it. Because now you have, when the shavua took effect, it was ha'odim b'shavua. He knew that the shavua has been triggered, and now he ate the second one, and that's as usual. That would be a regular case where a person made a shavua knowingly and then forgot, and then forgot was over on the shavua, and therefore he's going to be chayv a korban. So therefore, the shavua was chala now, and now he's over b'shogeg. Continues Rava, shtei and b'shogeg. What if he ate both of them b'shogeg? Potter. So then it doesn't matter. Rashi, by the way, points out in all of this that, in fact, when we say, for example, that I'll be also to eat this one if I eat that one, Rashi points out it doesn't have to be that he eats them in that order. The same din would be true if he were to eat the challah first, which is the one which has the shavua on it, and afterwards he were to eat the sliced bread, which is the one that was the tnai, he would also be equally chayev. In the cases where he's chayev, he'd be equally chayev. We're mentioning Rishona and Shnia, we're just using Rishona to mean the one of the tnai, and Shnia to mean the one of the one that's actually Osir. The reason why we speak of them as Rishona and Shnia is because Rashi points out that only if he ate them in that order, only then when he ate the first one the mazin and the second one the shogeg, that would be the case where he's chayev the korban, because now you have the shavua was triggered and he knew that it was triggered, and then he ate the shogeg, and therefore now he's chayev for a korban for the regular case of shogeg of being over on an iser. If it was the other way around. If it was the other way around, then he wouldn't bring a korban for the fact that retroactively he ate something which was osur, because you can't say it. When he ate the challah, it wasn't osur yet. So even if it was mazid, even if he knew that there was a tnai over here, the fact is he hadn't eaten the sliced bread yet, and the shavua hadn't been triggered. So now, when later on he eats the sliced bread b'shogeg, it can't trigger the shavua retroactively. It will mean that he did an iser retroactively, but we can't say that he would be chayv a korban for it. So Rashi is explaining that's why we have to call them Rishona and Shnia rather than calling them tnai and iser, because in other words, when it comes to that particular din that we just said that it would be chayv a korban when he ate them both b'shogeg, that he's chayv, that would require that he first ate the tnai one, the sliced bread, and only then he eats the shavua one, which is the iser one, which is the challah. So now, Rava said, this is all according to Rashi. Again, we'll talk about soon. A lot of the Rishonim have a lot of different explanations of a lot of different explanations of the Gemara. You have a whole long Tosfos over here that goes through it, and you have many other Rishonim and Achronim that discuss it. But first, finishing off according to Rashi, shtei and b'shogeg, if he ate both of them b'shogeg, then it wouldn't matter which one he ate first. Potter, then he would be potter from the korban, because again, when he eats whichever one he eats first. Either he eats the tnai one first, and then it's not ha'odam b'shavua because he didn't remember that that's going to trigger the shavua. Or he ate the iser one first, and then at that point the shavua hadn't been triggered yet, and therefore you're not going to say retroactively when he eats the tnai one later that it'll make him chayiv in a korban. So therefore he'll be potter. What about, continues Rava, shtei and b'mezid? What if he ate both loaves of bread b'mezid? So then it depends which order he ate them in. Ochle the tnoi v'hoder ochle the isure. If he ate the one of the tnai, the sliced bread first, and then he ate the challah one, and then he ate the challah, which is the one that's actually subject to the isur, chayev, then he's going to be chayev malchus, because now you have, there is ha'odam b'shavua, so you have, there was a complete knowledge when he ate the sliced bread that now this is triggering the shavua, And now he's also to eat the challah. And now, later on, when he eats the challah, then he's knowingly over on his shvur, therefore he's chayav malchus. But if he eats first the isur, first the challah, and later on he eats the tnai one, which is the sliced bread, that will be subject to plugged Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. That will be subject to a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Namely, we have a machlokas. We learned about in Marcus. We also learned earlier in our Masechta about the case of Asra Sopit, where they give him asra about somebody, where there's the possibility that he might, that we don't know for sure whether after that asra, whether what he does is going to be mechayev and malchus or not. In Or Masechta, we have the example where, and then in the first parak, we have the example where he made a shvur that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today, and he hasn't eaten it yet. So now it's a lav shein b'maisa. So now, Rabbi Yochanan said he's potter for malchus because lav shein b'maisa. Rish Lakish had said because asra suffer, because anytime they give masra, if they give masra in the middle of the day, and it's not a valid hasra, he has to then do the isur, tlech kedei dibur, and he doesn't need to. He has the whole rest of the day left to eat the bread. And then as we get later and later in the day, eventually we get to the point where when they give him hasra, it'll be too late to eat the bread anyhow. The day is almost over and there's no time to eat the whole thing. And therefore at that point, the hasra would be ineffective, and you can't really time it so exactly that they're going to give him hasra at exactly the right moment. And therefore, Rish Lakish says he's potter from Malchus on those grounds. And we had in Malchus, we had other cases like that involving hasra suffolk, where a person is subject to an isser. But there's no way to know in advance whether what he's going to end up doing or not doing is going to be mechayev and Malchus or not. Anyway, so Lamanda Omar Hasra Safik Shma Hasra, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that doesn't matter, Hasra Safik is a valid Hasra, and for example, in that case where he made the Shavua not to eat to eat the loaf of bread, then the only reason he's potter, if he doesn't end up eating it, the only reason he's potter from Malchus is because of Lav Shen Mimaisa. So according to that opinion, Chayev, in our case, over here, he would be Chayev, because what would happen, we're saying that he ate the Isu one, he ate the Challah first, and later on he eats the sliced bread, both mimezid. So now, can they give him asra when he's about to eat the challah? Can they tell him, if you eat that challah, you're going to be chayev malchus? But he's not necessarily going to be he's not necessarily going to be chayev malchus, because it depends whether he eats the sliced bread or not. So that's hasra suffix. So now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't matter. Asra suffix is a valid asra, and if later on he ends up eating the sliced bread, then that means retroactively now the shvur was triggered. Now it turns out retroactively he was in fact also to eat that challah and his chayev malchus. So in that case, he ate the challah first and they gave him asra. Later on, he ate the sliced bread. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he can get malchus for eating the challah. Lamanda Omar Lav Shma Asra, whereas according to Rish Lakish, Potter, then he would be Potter because to begin with, the Asra they gave him on the challah would be a suffix because we didn't know at the time whether in fact he's going to eat the sliced bread and become Chayv Malchus and become Chayv Malchus or not. Okay, so all of this is according to Rashi's understanding of the situation over here. So first of all, again, one key thing we need to realize in Rashi's explanation is that when we talk about Rishona and Shnia, so Rashi explains Rishona always means the one of the Tnai, and Shnia always means the one of the Isser. Now, Tosfos goes through a long discussion about this and has several questions on Rashi. We have Rava says there is a case where he would be chayiv in a korban. Namely, he said where he ate the first one b'mezid and the second one b'shogeg. But how would that be when he eats the first one? If he eats it b'mezid. Don't you need you so 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 you need so 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 you need so 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 again so Rashi explains that the shvur is chal only when he does the first one. At that point we have to look at whether it was an adam b'shvur, whether he knew that this is triggering the isur or not. And then when there's triggered, when he eats the isur, Tosfos doesn't like that explanation because the fact is the first one whether when he eats it b'shvur, it's not an adam b'shvur, and if he eats it b'mezid, then you're going to need the second one was eaten. The second one with the Isser was eaten b'shogeg, and then what do you have? What do you say? You're going to talk about that he ate the first one. He remembered the shvur, so therefore, but now b'shogeg would be later on that he forgets and he thinks he's mutter to eat it. Tosfos says this whole thing is a doichek, and a number of other questions that they have in Rashi. So then Tosfos discusses that all we care about is about the Tnai one, whether we ate the Tnai one, the Shogig, and if he ate it b'shogeg, whether first or second, then he's going to be potter. But as far as the Isser one, when he eats the Tnai one, again, is when the Shavua is chal, so at that point is honor. So now, fine, the Rishona and Shnia still mean what Rashi said, that it means Rishona means the Tnai one, Shnia means the Isser one, but in fact, And again, like Rashi says, it wouldn't matter the order of them. But in other words, the key factor is what was he thinking when he ate the first one? If he ate the Shnai one, the Shogeg, whether at the beginning or at the end, then that's all that matters, and we don't really care about the Isser one. And Tosfos goes and discusses that explanation. Then Tosfos goes and brings an explanation from Abinatam. That's similar to Rashi's, except that he says the other, he has a girsa the other way around, Rishonim B'Shogig, or Shnei B'Mezid, and he understands that he understands the Isser, just the opposite of Rashi, though. He understands that the Isser one is called the first one, and the Tnai one is called the second one. So two different explanations in Tosfos itself, which one is called first or second. So in short, so far we have as follows. According to Rashi, we're saying the first one means the Tanai, the second one means the Isser, and the key thing is that when he eats the first one, he has to know about the Shavua, and if he forgot, if he did that first one, B'Shogeg, then he can never be Chaya because of the second one, because then it would be a Neder Oynes. Then we have Tosfos says that no, the key thing is that when he eats the Tanai, it has to be that he didn't forget. And Rashi had made the point that again, Rashi had made the point that if he were to eat the Shavua one first and then the Tanai, then he can't retroactively be chayav for a korban. So Tosfos disagrees with that point. And says that if he remembers when he ate the Tanai one, so then he eats the Isser one, B'Shogeg, then he would be Chayev, and it doesn't matter the order. In other words, it would be possible for him to eat the Isser one, the Chala, first, and to retroactively be Chayev when he eats the first one, as long as he remembers the Shavua at that time. So then you have Rabbi Natan's explanation, which is the other way, which flips around the definitions of Rishona and Shnia, that Rishona would mean the Isser one and Shnia would mean the Tanai one. Then you have the Rambam has yet another understanding that it means that if he was shogeg when he ate the Tanai one, as long as he ate, even so, so if he was shogeg the other way around, if he ate the Tanai one, the shogeg, and then he ate the Isser one, the mazid, then he would be chayev, but if he knew when he ate the Tanai one, and then he, by the Isser one, he thought that it wasn't also to him, then it would be potter. So in short, you have several different explanations over here about what exactly is the Rishona and Shnia, and is there a significance to the order that he ate it in, and in what case, and the Shogeg versus the Mazid. Which one was Shogeg and which one was Mazid? So getting back to the Gemara now on Amud Beis. So again, we said that the last thing we said was that if the case was that he ate the one that's osur, the challah, and then he ate the one that's tnai, then it's going to be subject to a machlokas about asra suffik, because now at the time he ate the one of Isser, we didn't know yet whether he's going to be osur in it in the first place, because it's going to depend whether we ate the tnai one, the sliced bread. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Here's another case. Slan zubazu. What happens if he makes one depend on the other? So in other words, until now, we're talking about that you have the tnai and the isser, the sliced bread. There's no isser on him at all to eat the sliced bread. All it is if he eats that, then that triggers the isser on the challah. But the sliced bread itself, there's no isser in it. Now, what about, Rava gives another scenario where each one's isser is going to depend on the other. Tlon zuvazu, he made one of them depend on the other. And he says, loy oichalzu, im oichalzu, loy oichalzu, im oichalzu, where now he says, if I eat either one of them, then I'm also to eat the other one. So now, as soon as he eats one of them, then the isser is triggered on the other one. So now, the oichalzu bezodin atzmo v'shigas chavata, now suppose he ate one of those loaves of bread, knowing that one is going to asser, he knows when he eats that first one that if he eats the other one, this one is going to be asser on it, but he doesn't remember the other part of the tnai, that this one will asser the other one. So that's one case. Zdoin atzma means it's bemazed, it's knowingly about itself. He knows that this one itself has the potential to become also for him if he eats the other one, but he doesn't remember that this one is also triggering the issur on the other one. Or bezodin atzma v'shigas chavata. And similarly, if he ate the other one, knowing that it itself is capable of becoming ulcer, but forgetting that there was a condition involving the other one. So in either of those cases, then you don't have the shvuah is not able to be chal. When he ate the first one, both of them, both shvuahs could be chal, but now he's forgetting about it, and therefore it's not ha'adam b'shvuah. Similarly, if he ate the first one, b'shigas, not remembering that there's any tnai here at all, but there's zodin, forgetting that this loaf of bread itself is capable of becoming aser, but zodin chavata, but knowing that this is going to be a tnai to aser the other one, so he mistakenly thinks, so he's eating the sliced bread, for example, he doesn't remember that this bread itself could potentially become aser, but he does remember that eating the sliced bread is now going to aser and to eat the challah, or the other way around. So now you can have where again he eats one loaf of bread, forgetting that it itself is capable of becoming osir, but remembering that it will be able to asser the other one, and then he eats the other loaf of bread, in a similar way, chayev, then either way he's going to be chayev a korban for eating the second one, because like this. In other words, let's recap. I think I read the Gemara wrong over here. So Rava is saying that Tron Zubazu, he made one of them depend on the other. So he says, he's making them interdependent. So now, if he eats each loaf of bread, knowing that this one itself is going to become also, if he eats the other one, but he forgets about the chavata, he remembers that he had made a shvua on this sliced bread when he eats it, for example. He remembers that this sliced bread is able to become osir if he eats the challah, but he forgets that it's the other way around, that if he eats the challah, then this one, then the challah is going to become osir. So then we're saying potter. Then we're saying when he eats the second one, he's potter. When he eats the first one, he can't be chayev yet, because at that point, this one is not osir yet. It's only going to become osir retroactively when he eats the second one. And now there was a shriging on the other one. So in other words, there wasn't ha'adam b'shvuah. There wasn't a knowledge of the shvuah when he eats the second one. But zub shigas atzma, v'zodin chavata, v'zub shigas atzma, or v'zodin chavata. But the other way around, if he eats each one, forgetting that it itself is capable of becoming also, but remembering that there is a tnai involving the other one, that this will ask for the other one, so then chayev, then he's going to be chayev a korban for eating the second one, because then when he ate the first one, he remembered that it was a tnai. So we have ha'odim b'shvur, we have zodin chavata, he knows that it's going to ask for the other one, so he knows that at this point he's eating the tnai and triggering the other one. Now when he eats the other one, then he ate it b'shogig, and therefore he's chayev a korban. Shtei b'shogig. If he eats both of them, b'shogeg potter, then he's potter for both of them, because again, then there's no ha'odem b'shavua. When the shavua was triggered, he didn't know that it was being triggered. Shtein b'mezid, and if he eats both of them b'mezid, ashniya michayev, then the second one is definitely going to be chayev malchus, because now he remembers by the second one that it's already osir as a result of the first one. All it is he had forgotten, that the only detail he'd forgotten is that this one also triggers an isur on the second one, but fine, that one he already ate. So he's definitely chayev malchus for the second one. Avishonah plukta did Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. The second, whether he's going to be chayev another malchus for having eaten the first one, again, that's going to depend on the machlokas Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish about asurah safek. Because again, when he ate the first one, we don't know yet whether he's going to end up being osur to eat it, because is he going to end up eating the second one and triggering the interdependent tnai or not? So we can't be sure, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's still a valid hasurah, and according to Rish Lakish, it's not. So now here also this piece over here also you have the various explanations of the Rishonim that we talk about, which one is various other understandings in the situation over here about which one he ate and which one he ate b'mezid, which one he ate b'shogeg, and what the results of it are going to be depending on the previous sugya, how we understand Rishona and Shnia, does it matter the order in which he ate them in, etc. So all of that is also points about where there's a tnai involved over here, and therefore, so sometimes it can be chayev a korban or malchus, and sometimes not. So the Gemara says, "Amar Mori afanan nami tanena." So the Mori says we have a Mishnah that shows like Rava says. Where, in other words, in short, if he doesn't remember when he does the Isser, if he doesn't remember that there's a Tanai involved, then he might be potter from the consequences. The Mishnah says, there are bar nedarim itiru chachamim, the chum were matir four types of nedarim. The Gemara discusses over there, does that mean he still has to be matir neder on them? But the point is, in other words, there is, or does it mean that they're automatically bottle? Whatever the case, in other words, the point is that you have several cases of a neder, which is not really a neder, because it's obvious that it wasn't really meant to be as an actual neder. The nidre zeruzin, you have a neder where a person makes a neder just to encourage the other person to do something. For example, they're bargaining in the marketplace, and each one makes a neder that I won't buy or I won't sell for less than this. So he's not genuinely meaning that he literally won't. He's trying to bring the price up or down. He's trying to bring the price up or down, as the case may be. The whole line over here is in parenthesis because it is a quotation from the Mishnah, but Rashi doesn't have it in his Gersa, and Marshal also takes it out. Anyway. So because the point is not so much that, the point is to explain one of the four particular types. Anyway, Nidre Zeruzin, Nidre Havai, you have Nidorim of exaggeration, Nidre Shgogas, a Nidre of Shgoga, which now we're going to define, and Nidre Oinsen, and a Nidre that was taken by Oinus, where, for example, a tax collector or whatever is harassing him, and he makes a Nidre in order to get the guy off his back. Anyway, so the details of those four are discussed in Masechet Nedarim. They're not really relevant to our sugya, but let's define specifically Nidre Shgogas Ketzad. What do we mean in Nidre Shgogas, which is bottle, which is bottle, and therefore, so either you have a strong basis to be matter neder, or as the Gemara discusses over there, maybe you need to be matter neder, and it's mutter all by itself. Ketzad, what does that mean? Person says konam imachalti the imshasisi. Person makes a konam, he makes a neder that such and such food will be also to him if I ate or if I drank. Later on, he remembers he did eat or drink that day. So now, but when he made the neder, he had forgotten that. So now, therefore, again, when he made the neder, it wasn't ha'odem b'shavua, or whatever the equivalent is by a neder, because he didn't remember that the tnai had in fact been chal. Or similarly, she'eni ochel v'she'eni shosa, he says, I won't eat or I won't drink today. He says a koinam if I eat or drink today, the shochach v'ochel v'shasa, and he forgets that there was a koinam involved and he eats or drink mutter. In those cases, then the neder is not chal, because at the time when the neder was supposed to be chal, then he didn't remember it, and therefore it's not ha'odem b'shavua. So Rashi explains that so we see, in other words, the person has to remember the neder when the tnai takes effect. So now, in other words, we're not talking about where he made a neder not to eat or drink, and then if he did that retroactively, then there's nothing to talk about being matir. Just the opposite, he should be chayav a korban. So Rashi explains, in other words, that we're not talking about koinam shani oichol. Rashi explains doesn't mean a koinam that I'm saying that I'm also to eat. Then you can't talk about past or future. In the future, he's not allowed to eat, and if he does, he's chayav a korban. And for the past, then it turns out it was a false shvua. So no, we're talking about that he's making something else dependent on whether he ate or drank, or whether he will eat or we will drink. So then this fits with what Rava is saying about tznoyim over here. The tonya loss, and now we learn in a brisa on that concept applies not only to nedarim. Kashem shen nidre shrogus mutarin, kach shvua shrogus mutaris. The same kind of concept as applies to nidre shrogus when such a thing is mutar, so also shvua shrogus. So also mutter. Tosfos points out actually that it seems strange to say that, because here we said the fact that by a shvur such a thing is the fact that by a shvur such a thing is true. We learn from a pasuk that says about a shvur, because it says ha'odam b'shvur, and we said that means he has to be aware at the time the shvur is taking effect. By a neder we never find such a pasuk. So why is the bright saying just like nidre shvurus amuter, so shvur shvurus, it should be the other way around. Shvur shvurus we learn from a pasuk, nidre shvurus we learn Nidre Shavuos, we don't have a pasuk. So Tosfos says, because the fact that Nidre Shavuos, we have the Mishnah that we were quoting before, our Bar Nedarim, Tiro Chachamim, Shavuos Shavuos, we don't actually have a Mishnah to that effect anywhere, and therefore, so therefore the Braisa is phrasing it the same way as Nidre Shavuos Amutter, and we know that from explicit Mishnah and Nedarim, the same way you should know Shavuos Shavuos are also Mutter, because of the pasuk. Anyway, so the point is that so we see now Shavuos Shrogas Hechidomi. What would be the scenario of Shavuos Shrogas Lavki Hai Gavna? Wouldn't it be like the scenario that Rava is talking about? In other words, where there's a Tanai over here, and he forgets what the Tanai was. He forgets that the Tanai is being triggered or whatever. So Shnam, so good that. Proves it. So yes, that proves that from that Mishnah and that Braisa, we can prove Rava's point about where there's a tnai involved, and therefore that if he forgets the tnai, then therefore the shrua is not chal, and therefore he'd be potter from a korban or malchus or what have you. Rashi actually doesn't have the words shvuos shrogas hechidomi, because we don't need to ask how the shvuos shrogas is possible. We had previously in connection with Rav's Talmidim, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. But rather, the point is, in other words, that we see that here is another case of nidre shrogas. And the fact that he says that the fact that he says im oichal im eni oichal, if he says a koinam on such and such food, if in the future today I eat or I don't eat, and then he forgets that there was a neder involved and he eats, that we're saying the neder is not chal, it's considered nidre shrogas, that's the real proof. And then the braisa is saying that shavuos shrogas is the same kind of thing, and therefore that's really all the proof we need to say therefore that in such a case the shvua is not chal, because you don't have an odem b'shvua, and therefore that he'd be potter from any of the consequences. Okay. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue talking about more matters of Shavuos, and not so much Tznoyim, but rather more the point of Ein Shavua, Cholal Shavua, and discuss different angles within that.